Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 1, 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what are the benefits of the coronavirus on a global scale? What could be the benefits of a virus that is making hundreds of thousands of people sick, and killing dozens of thousands more, around the world? One benefit is that it is aiding the awakening of how small and weak we are in the presence of a much greater nature. The coronavirus is a prime example of how nature doesn't discriminate between rich and poor, famous and unknown, powerful and ordinary, educated or uneducated, and many other categories that we place upon ourselves. Thus, while we have been placed in social distancing conditions around the world, we can indeed contemplate on how equal we all are in relation to nature. We can see how the boundaries we set between each other and between nations become negated by a tiny minuscule virus that penetrates them all, and thus would do wisely to learn from such an example. Nature is an integral system, and it wants us to rise in our awareness in order to relate to each other as integrally as it functions. If we thus use this pandemic to reach such a conclusion, that nature is bigger than us, and if we related to each other more integrally, changing our previous paradigm of trying to benefit at others' expense to one of trying to benefit the whole human society and nature that we are all parts of, then we would enter into balance with nature and experience its reactions positively. Until the coronavirus hit us, we let our egoistic human nature, which wants to benefit itself at the expense of others, separate us more and more. The human ego shatters the perception of the integral nature into small pieces. As devastating as the effects of the coronavirus have been, it is likely that if the pandemic would not have entered our lives, then we would have caused ourselves a lot more suffering by letting our egoistic behavior lead us to such hatred and division, the likes of which could have erupted in a world war. Therefore, the main benefit of the coronavirus is if we use this period to consider how equal we all ultimately are in the face of nature, how our egoistic way of life leading up to the coronavirus was leading us to harm ourselves, and that we would be wise to learn how we can come out of this pandemic with more considerate, supportive, encouraging and giving attitudes to each other. Medium published my new article The Secret to Overcome the Coronavirus Lockdown. If you are like one out of three people in the world currently under stay-at-home orders, the question of how to make this situation meaningful becomes relevant. The surge of the COVID-19 pandemic is pushing humanity to realize how much we depend on each other. It sent us home not only to stop the further spreading of the virus, but to also stop us further infecting the world with our troublesome and exploitative interactions, where we each sought to build ourselves on the ruin of others. Our imbalanced relations negatively impact the other levels of nature, still, vegetative and animal, and nature reacts to our harmful influence by striking us with certain blows in order to try and spur us into balance with it. How to find inner strength? Home, then, becomes the laboratory for fixing our imbalance with nature by first practicing harmonious relations with others. It is the place where we can start thinking about how to become more considerate to each other. But as time passes, we can easily become impatient. Maintaining a positive attitude becomes more complicated as the ego, the will to receive for self-benefit alone, increases, until we cannot get along with each other anymore. The broken ties between us create rifts and quarrels, arguments and confrontation. The wisdom of Kabbalah, known also as the wisdom of connection, explains that such states are opportunities to rise above those conflicts and bring about cohesion and mutual understanding. As it is written, each one helps the other, and says to his brother, "Be strong." Isaiah 41:6. In other words, by constructing appropriate relations among us, by helping, supporting and encouraging the other, we will acquire the required inner strength to do good in the world, beginning with those closest to us. And the Kabbalists advise, show affection and care. Do it with your utmost effort. Do it openly and even artificially until the habit becomes your second nature. How can we even hear such advice, never mind implement it, if it counters how the heart feels? We will become ready to submit when we realize that there is no other way and the alternative is to live our lives like prisoners in our own homes. Conversely, we can accept this lockdown as an opportunity to examine what we should correct in our attitudes to each other in order to live more fulfilling lives. Kids will be kids, adults should not. We might wonder where children will find the strength to overcome their burning desire to act contrary to their natural desire. How, for example, can children become ready to make concessions in order to find common ground and understanding? It can be achieved when we raise them with our example. If adults demonstrate altruistic behavior, not acting like stubborn children themselves, but showing examples of love, care and giving to each other, then children will imitate such examples and grow up to behave similarly. It is quite complicated, but parents should ideally urge children to make such concessions. It is because, if they manage to do so, they will enter into a much calmer and happier state. We should thus explain to them, and also to ourselves, do you think that you will gain more if you are stubborn? Will it benefit anyone if you refuse to give in? Will you gain any lasting advantage if you try and force the other to yield? They will likely nod their heads in agreement after a second. The principle is relatively easy to comprehend, but difficult to execute. Human nature, the will to receive, resists it. What, then, can be done to help overcome our nature? The answer: organize a supportive environment, create an atmosphere that will help the children, and ourselves, to overcome and exit the ego, and give in for a common benefit. When both you and your children are tired of hearing about such compromises, then we should once again explain to ourselves, when we combat our ego instead of someone else's, the triumph will be sweeter and more pleasant. However, we cannot just hand them hollow instructions. We need to dig deeper by ordering our own selfish nature to renounce itself in exchange for mutual gain. By doing so, we develop a fresh approach to making compromises, building within ourselves this characteristic for a higher purpose. We become ready to concede to the whole world. Why? It is in order to calm it down and bring it the same power of compromise, the power to balance our struggles. Thus, as we teach our children, we also educate ourselves, and rise to a higher level of mutual consideration and responsibility by doing so. Gradually, we will start seeing that all of our family members succeed in cancelling their will vis-à-vis the other, giving in for the benefit of the whole family with a smile, calmly and pleasantly. When we acquire this power to make concessions, we will be able to spread this ability from a smaller unit through to society at large. Then, everyone will start thinking and acting for everyone's benefit instead of trying to pull others to benefit each one individually. And by doing so, everyone will receive what is required for their life, just like in a family. After the pandemic, the world seems to be on a narrow bridge, and the main thing now is not to be afraid of parting with the past. We have another concern: how to meet the future not by colliding with its back, but to competently face the inevitable tomorrow. If only everything does not collapse, then it will be restored, they tell us. And they add, someday. I say it will not recover. But collapse is not necessary at all. Each of us has the task of surviving the current period with minimal losses. To do this, we need to save nerves and resources, support others, be able to relax, but not disconnect. And most importantly, we need to understand what is happening so that the consequences of the crisis will not take us too much by surprise. To start, let's sit down and take a breath. The human being was not created to fuss. He was created in order to think and act. So let's think: what have we actually lost? What motivated us in that life? What did we live for? What sensible and useful things have we done? What have we prepared for the future of our children? Quite frankly, we just served each other for money. With zeal or without it, we fulfilled the principle, clearly formulated by our sages thousands of years ago, go and profit from each other. It seemed to us that we were serving ourselves. But what kind of a disservice we rendered to ourselves by exhausting ourselves in a hamster wheel of consumerism, not thinking about anything else. Imagine for a second if we flew from another developed planet and looked down on ourselves a few months ago, it would not have been a very pretty sight. No, not in the technological sense, but in the very essence of our commotion and bustle. The benefit from it, like smog above the earth, is already starting to disperse. And so, the virus came. Stop, people, it tells us. Look at what you did to the planet and to yourselves. Look beyond the brink of tomorrow. If we really look into it without brushing it off, we will see that we were moving not only toward ecological collapse, but before that we would have come to war. In fact, we drove ourselves into the arms of war, into a state of helpless globalization, into a dead end of contradictions. This is human nature. When a slaughter is brewing, we force it out of our consciousness and at the same time put up with it, even invoke it. We have not yet reached such an advanced stage, but an avalanche of unbridled consumerism has drawn humanity into the abyss. And, paradoxically, the virus is saving us from it. We are being saved from egoism in need of absolution, in resetting consumption markets. So is it worth going back? What did we forget there? Is there life after the virus? Now we are getting to know our family, our world, and ourselves again. Previously, many of us just slept at home, now we live there. We used to browse the internet for fun, now we connect with each other. There are several ways. Of course, we want to go back to that hamster wheel with its array of constantly new and different pleasures to look forward to, and are even willing to endure its pains that prod us from behind. But one cannot help but remember the threat of a collapse with rampant crime, the suppression of unrest, interruptions in supply, and the search for the guilty. And finally, we can use this period for reflection. Of course, not everything is smooth. Not everyone can sustain the blow, but the experience itself, the very change of pace, foreshortening, does not bring only a respite. In the cleared weekdays, in an unusual afternoon lull, we hear an echo of something new. We are seated at home, like children at their desks in order to learn something so that this breaking would not pass in vain. In any case, we will be unable to exit the crisis as quickly as we entered it. And what is happening now is not a pause, not a vacation, not a lockdown, it is an awakening. The virus did not knock us out, but shook us well, returned us to reality, gives us an opportunity to carefully take the helm. Today we are confronted with the need to redefine our values in the dawn of a new era, which requires a different attitude to each other and finding a meaning that we avoided. The wind of change swept away the illusions and is showing us the true picture. So are we really going to let the mind again be clouded by its mirages? Will we reconcile ourselves with the past, with eternal vanity, with external abundance, and with internal devastation? The world seems to be on a narrow bridge, and the main thing now is not to be afraid of parting with the past. We have another concern. How to meet the future not by colliding with its back, but competently face the inevitable tomorrow. We, ourselves, have created a rat race, and now we can get out of it without excessive external shocks. After all, the main thing is what is inside, our connections, our relations, our participation, reciprocity. It is enough to realize this, and all mechanisms, social, financial, commercial, we'll start to restructure according to the new paradigm. Let's think about it. Why are we living? How can we build our lives differently, on different principles? The way out of boundless egoism was opened. Let's use it while our egoism is shocked and muted. Airplanes are on the ground, ships are in ports, we should be at school desks. There is nothing derogatory in this. On the contrary, we have the opportunity to really do something for ourselves. All our life we were only engaged in running away from the question about it. Worried before death, justifying ourselves to the best of our ability. The virus, however, hints at something else. We cannot run away from death this way. To overcome its line, it is necessary to rise above the egoism that kills us. Our ego limits, gives a flawed and wretched sensation of the world through the demands of our body. Let us feel the world through our internal common structure, through the soul. Then we will see it completely differently, endless, eternal, and perfect. This has nothing to do with religions. The science of Kabbalah does not advocate any beliefs. It simply develops the soul of a person, and that makes us happy. Now, when we all feel in a common boat, we must put our oars together and head for a world without borders between hearts. Then the remaining barriers that divide people will disappear. Tomorrow's world is forming now. Coronavirus, looking ahead. It is as if we have become participants in a Hollywood storyline and are following the development of events from the inside. Will we be able to understand the essence of what is happening and anticipate the upshot? It's already clear, the coronavirus has become one of those rare, unpredictable events with far-reaching consequences that Nassim Taleb dubbed black swans. Later, in hindsight, everything will become clear and logical, but something is already happening now. We all have a few weeks or months of reflections ahead of us and it would be unwise to miss this opportunity. After all, there are no accidents in nature and since the necessary conditions have already developed, we must use them purposefully and not just wait for the end to come. In front of us, apparently, are several months of a very unusual lifestyle. Even after it is over, we will not return to the previous routine. Our everyday life will be different. How, precisely? It depends upon whether we want to answer the cardinal questions that are being posed to us by the virus today. When it's all over, we'll wonder why we should go to work in the office, go to school to study or train, or go shopping at the store, writes Dr. Inat Wilf. Perhaps, this will be the moment when we will leave the structures of the Industrial Revolution behind. Analysts, scientists, and heads of companies are already discussing the new digital paradigm, changing the approach to production and its efficiency, and decision-making and safety. The pandemic has highlighted the fact that our inert thinking is not keeping pace with modern technology. This, however, is only part of the picture. After all, it is not so much about technology. The point is the very concept of success. If we do not miss this opportunity, humanity will cast away a lot of what is superfluous and live simpler and more practical lives externally, and also live internally fuller and more multifaceted lives. Not just our way of life will change, but the way we think and feel. At this point, we want only one thing, for it all to end, but let's pull ourselves together and look the facts in the eye. What is the current situation telling us? What other diseases of the world is the coronavirus revealing? The Ministry of Health is not going to tell us about them. Its directives only disconnect and tear us away from the life imposed on us by society with its current values, leisure, and pastimes. Suddenly, mutual responsibility has ceased to be an empty phrase. Priorities are changing dramatically. Entertainment is shifting into virtual space. It is a rather gloomy prelude but not tragic. We are trying to acclimatize and build a new framework. We are even helping others, strangers, which yesterday was nonsense for many. On one hand, we are limited. On the other hand, we are discovering new and unusual things. It is similar to a growing child being directed by caregivers, isn't it? Following the roots of the sick, we see cafes, restaurants, shops, shopping centers, supermarkets, and banquet rooms. Actually, this dotted line from one institution to another makes up almost our entire lives. We travel abroad and it is the same everywhere, endless repetition. although no, it is a finite one. Now, looking at it from a side, we are becoming a little more mature and a little wiser. Imperceptibly and implicitly, a new feeling is arising in us. We have a new attitude toward leisure and entertainment, as well as others and our own lives. The old ways have faded a little, as if the blinders are falling from our eyes and are exposing new bright colors. What seems like a prison today is, in fact, providing us with an opportunity to start treating ourselves and the world in a deeper and more serious way. We are asking ourselves questions that, until now, were diligently obscured by the previous paradigm. In fact, we have an unprecedented chance to reflect. The virus is leading us toward purification and a kind of disinfection of the mind and feelings. It is raising us to a new level of thinking, understanding, desiring, and connecting. Without even knowing, we are already in touch with a need for a sense that we were previously deprived of. Let's fast forward. The virus will not only be a threat, it will also become a breakthrough. It undermines not only the body, but also outdated concepts and dogmas, opening the door to a new state of humanity. Our first impulse is to close this door, to calm the draft, and to eliminate the obstacle in the usual way. But wait, do not close the doors of consciousness. In nature, in this single, integral system, there is nothing bad, nothing wrong. All of nature's responses are true and useful, even if they are destructive in some way. You can't just fight the virus by discounting the system in which we live. The system will not go anywhere and will continue to defend its balance. From whom, you may ask? From us. It is we who shake the general balance by rocking the boat. We are consumer-oriented toward the world and toward each other for the sake of silly bragging, out of the desire to place ourselves in a higher and better position in comparison to others. Our entire lives are subjugated to this task, hidden behind many solid-looking but flat decorations. As a result, at the environmental level, we consciously destroy the Earth. Greta Thunberg is accurate on this point. Most importantly, we ruin the social ecology and we fail precisely at the task assigned to us by the system. Our relations and all our progress act in opposition to nature. We bring imbalance and disharmony in everything we touch. We try to conquer the system that gave birth to us. We demand that nature obey us for the sake of our infantile and meaningless games. Of course, nature is against this. It is no coincidence that the virus forces us to build healthier lives and more responsible relationships, to abandon unnecessary production, and to take care of each other. Perhaps, once a vaccine is created or when the majority of people get over the sickness, we will depart from the isolation, being more mature and living differently and better. Perhaps we will give meaning to this pandemic, which so far seems like a black swan, an unfortunate and unforeseen obstacle in our dotted line. Later, a logical explanation will be found for all the black swans. But what explanation will we give? What prevents us from doing this now? For decades, we have wandered in consumer illusions, destroying the lives of future generations. We have turned ourselves into cogs in a global overproduction and indifference machine that produces garbage and burns human and natural resources for the sake of egoism. Why would we come back to this? Even if we begin to consume just two or three times less, we, our children, and our grandchildren will have healthier, calmer lives full of much more creative, enduring, and universal joy. A common misfortune can be a springboard to a common success. The virus, in fact, gives us a chance to survive. Nature, unlike humanity, does not ruin or destroy anything, it only develops, fixes, and corrects. Our perception has not yet reached this picture, but we are already able to extrapolate from our knowledge, run a little ahead, and look beyond the horizon depicted. Then, we will see how hostile we are toward nature. Like a Mongol Tatar cohort, we trample nature's fields and arrogantly try to make it submit to our selfish demands. we will suddenly see that each of us faces nature and behind each of us is all of humanity. Everyone is personally responsible for the balance of the system. The individual and the collective are equal, say the Kabbalists. The virus is the result of the imbalance caused by humans in the general system. The human is the leading part in that system. All of the system's impulses are tied up and focused on us. Within it, we learn to answer for one another and also answer for the system itself. Let's not forget to observe the prescribed distance, sit in quarantine, take care of our families, and help others as much as possible. To ignore these things would be like burying our heads in the sand and looking back to yesterday when tomorrow is already on the way. Humanity differs from animals in that we are endowed with imagination and we know how to anticipate the future and look ahead. Our black swan is much more than it seems to us right now. Coronavirus is changing reality, part 6. What should a person know in the new world? Question: what should a person know in the new world that we suddenly found ourselves in? Answer: there is only one good action, coming closer to each other, and only one evil action, rejection and distancing from each other. Question: if I know the purpose of existence and can explain to myself the causes of the coronavirus, will it help? Answer: it is very simple. After all, the coronavirus or any other problems that will manifest between us are only the results of our incorrect connections. Therefore, there is no need to be wise and learn something special. Just one demonstration of our evil connections with each other is enough. Question: let's say a person listened to our program, then what? Should he say, "That's it, now I am starting to treat everyone well"? Answer: this will not help him because he cannot change his nature. People can only change their nature by placing themselves under a positive influence regularly. To do so requires regularly listening to our channel and letting it cleanse our thoughts and feelings. Question: are you saying that we need to learn to be in the correct connection? Answer: of course. Question: could it be that we will not return to the old world in which we lived and this virus will not end? Answer: naturally. Question: however, there is an opinion that in a few weeks it will get warmer and everything will be all right. Who knows? Humanity has been through many such cataclysms. Answer: then there will be a different one. Nature will not leave us alone. It will happen out of the blue, like this virus. Who would have thought that it would appear? It emerged so suddenly and unexpectedly. For example, when we started the World Kabbalah Convention in Israel toward the end of February, there was practically nothing. And when we finished it, a week later, there already was a panic in Israel and worldwide. From CapTV's Coronavirus is Changing Reality, Part 6, March 12, 2020. Why isn't Kabbalah a leading world religion? Question: if the main idea of all world religions is to unite people with some common idea and raise them to a higher power, why has the science of Kabbalah not become the leading world religion in these 6,000 years? Answer: the science of Kabbalah appeared 6,000 years ago, and the foundations of religions 3,500 years ago in ancient Babylon. Christianity arose about 2,000 years ago and Islam 600 years later. The science of Kabbalah is not a religion. You do not need to believe in it, you just need to realize it. The reason for the emergence of religions was the concealment of the science of Kabbalah. Kabbalah does not affirm anything unfounded, it encourages a person to reveal and find what it is talking about. This is a science that is called Hochmat Kabbalah, the wisdom of Kabbalah, that is, wisdom. It consists of no sacred acts, passes, or anything else. It does not say that you must believe. You must come to a state called faith. But faith is a state of bestowal, of rising above one's egoism, not the faith that religions speak of. That is, Kabbalah has absolutely nothing to do with them. So, It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. Nationality and gender do not matter. The main thing is the desire to know where you live and what for. Kabbalah does not divide people into any signs. Whoever desires comes and engages in it. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 2, 2020. Self-love. Question: what is self-love? Answer: it is our egoism, which is known to each of us when a person loves himself indefinitely, unconsciously, groundlessly, because such is the force of nature. It subconsciously exists in us. Question: but at the same time I enjoy at the expense of others? Answer: not necessarily at the expense of others. Simply love for dear ourselves, it is our ego. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 2, 2020. Contemporary gathering of friends. Question: contemporary gathering of friends are broadcast around the world. Groups and individuals from hundreds of countries participate in them. Their representatives talk about the importance of the goal. We show video materials, talk about news on dissemination, and listen to music. Is this normal? Is there some kind of a classic meeting option? It is one thing when a small group of 5 to 10 people gathers around in an intimate setting. It is another thing when you see thousands of people around and, of course, only some of them, who have the technical ability to speak and so forth. Answer: I think it does not matter. To me it seems the opposite, when a large group of people from all countries admire the system that they are a part of, the goal that they move toward, this is of great help. I don't think that here there is any room for dilution or distance from the goal or confusion in moving forward. Not at all. I like what is happening. I think that this is key for our proper development. The world is moving to ensure that people and all humanity rise above their worldly, shallow, and petty bourgeois image, enclosed in the borders of countries, small groups with personal teachers. We see that this is already breaking down because it should be much larger, steeper, and moving toward the Creator. From Cab TV's Principles of Kabbalah, March 11, 2019.